Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to hear from your word in the Bible. And I pray that you would help us as we hear from it now. Amen. Right, good morning. As Debbie said, my name is Martin, and I'm one of the other team of people who help to lead here at All Saints. Now, I wonder if anyone knows who this person is. Ooh, lots of people do. Yes, if I tell you his name, he's called Clive Staples Lewis, otherwise known as C.S. Lewis. Now, let's say you have that picture and you have that name. How would you find out about him? How would you find out what he was like? Well, yeah, I think most of us would have a look at Google. Other search engines are available. And we'd probably look to find out things that he did, things that he said. And we want to talk to other people and see what they said about him. And probably not just any old people. I think we'd want to ask the people who knew him personally, people who had spent time with him. Well, I don't know how many of you are particularly interested in who C.S. Lewis was, but what about Jesus? What makes him so special that thousands of years later, we're baptizing people into his name? Who was he, and what was he like? That's a question I think that many people today would like to know the answer to. And that was true back in the time of Jesus as well. Wherever he went, he left people asking, "Who is this?" Well, in the next few minutes, we're going to look very briefly at those two passages that we had read to us, which recount an event in Jesus' life now commonly known as the Transfiguration. There's actually a picture of it over here, which is very exciting. You can have a look at that later. Now, Jesus takes a few of his disciples up with him to a mountainside, and they see him transformed. And there are two other people there as well, two great figures from Israel's history. And we get this heavenly voice. And you might think, this is too incredible. It sounds crazy. But in that second reading that we had, Peter, one of the disciples who was there at the time, writing about it, says, "We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We ourselves heard this voice." Now, Peter knows how crazy it sounds, but he says, "I was there. We didn't make it up. We saw this for ourselves." Now, this is someone who knew Jesus personally, who we can ask to tell us what Jesus was like. And there are a couple of things that I think we can learn about Jesus from this incident. So firstly, I think we can learn that Jesus is God's son. This incident on the mountain reaches a climax with the voice from the cloud, which is clearly the voice of God, saying, "This is my son." God pronounces Jesus to be his son. Now, in my everyday job as a teacher, every so often I have to take part in parents' evenings. And it's amazing at parents' evenings how much you can learn about your students. Now, you find that your students not only look like their parents, but they share the same mannerisms. And you understand so much better why your students are as they are. They resemble their parents, not only in appearance, but in character as well. And this is the same with Jesus and God the Father. When God says that Jesus is his son, we can learn that Jesus shares the character and attributes of God. Jesus is God's son. Now, secondly, from this incident, I think we can see that Jesus is glorious. In the passage we had read from Luke, it says that Peter and his companions saw his glory. Even though it seems that they were very much dazed and confused by the whole situation. And later, after Peter's had a chance to reflect on everything, in that second reading, Peter writes, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And he says he received glory and honor. Now, the whole event, crazy as it sounds, I think shows us how glorious Jesus is. Now, I don't know if we talk about glory very much in everyday situations, but I think we do sometimes when we see sporting greats at the top of their game, like Roger Federer a few weeks ago when he won his 8th Wimbledon title, everyone standing up to cheer him. It was glorious. Or maybe you get that sense when you see something amazing in nature, like a beautiful landscape or an awesome sunset. It's glorious. And this is the sort of thing that Peter and the others were experiencing. Jesus is glorious. So who is Jesus? Well, I think from this story, we can see that Jesus is God's son and that Jesus is glorious. But that just takes one incident from his life. Jesus did and said many other things. He did amazing miracles. He said that the whole world revolved around him. And the biggest claim made about him by his followers was that having been crucified on the cross, he rose from the dead and came back to life. Now, those are big claims. And they need serious consideration. Back to C.S. Lewis, the famous writer, he wrote about it in terms of liar, lunatic, or Lord. He said that someone who went about saying the sorts of things that Jesus said couldn't be simply a great human moral teacher. He would either be a liar, deliberately misleading those who followed him, or he would be a lunatic, doing so unintentionally. Or he was who he said he was, the Son of God. What he couldn't be is simply a great human moral teacher. So who do you think Jesus is? Is he a liar, a lunatic, or is he Lord? Now, within the baptism liturgy today, some of us have proclaimed that we submit to and trust Jesus as Lord. And what does that look like? Well, just as we finish, let me return to the words spoken by God on that mountain. "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." If we want to follow Jesus as Lord, God says that we should listen to him as well. Let's pray.